episode 130 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast of Outlander travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help you push outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear about, please let us know. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Elizabeth, and Lindsay. And we're also once again joined by Robin.
Yay, Robin!
Hi!
You're so awesome!
7 years ago, Disney announced that they were creating a new land at the Animal Kingdom Park at Walt Disney World. At that time, Avatar was one of the biggest movies around. Fast forward to 2017, and there are some people who don't remember that movie or haven't seen it, myself included. So why create a whole land around a movie that people don't remember? Well, Elizabeth and Robin recently went to a press event promoting the opening of Pandora coming in May. So they can help answer that for us. So let's get started.
Before you even ask a question, Laura, I just need to clarify, there are people who do remember this movie. Sandy wrote the show notes, and Sandy doesn't remember the movie.
I remember the movie. My kids don't remember the movie. But I'm assuring them they're going to love it.
Just in case Disney's listening in and wondering why, yes, there are people
who... I'm going to see the movie.
Keeping it real.
So, I'm still a little disappointed that this is not a theme park dedicated to jewelry.
There may be sparkly objects or nice tunes.
I bet you'll be able to find a Pandora bracelet with Pandora on it.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not? Yeah. How could they miss that opportunity?
You're a charm with a banshee. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, so, how does this land fit into Animal Kingdom?
Well, I'll take that. It doesn't fit into it. Actually, that's part of the storyline is that Animal Kingdom merely provides a gateway to Pandora. So when you journey to Pandora from Animal Kingdom, you're actually exiting Magic Kingdom. I mean, not Magic Kingdom. I can't believe I just said that. You're actually exiting Walt Disney World and Earth, and you're journeying to Pandora. That is the storyline. And they chose Animal Kingdom because it aligns with a lot of the same values from the planet, conservation and all that.
Yeah.
So it was chosen by Pandora to be a gateway. Yeah. But overall, Animal Kingdom.
Suck the bug.
But even the Bug's Life ride is about sort of becoming friendly with the bugs and appreciating what they do for nature. So yeah, Animal Kingdom has since its inception has been about bringing our natural world in line with our technology world and our dirty pollution
and
problems.
And all. I remember when I saw Avatar way back then, how much it reminded me of Pocahontas with me, coming to this new land, kind of, messing with the locals.
Messing everything up.
Tearing up their stuff, chopping down their tree, So, it just really it didn't really surprise me whenever I found out they were doing this. And actually, what I remember from the movie the most, and I haven't seen it since I was in the theater, but I remember how awesome the bioluminescent stuff was, and then when they were walking on the tree at night, it would light up. And I remember thinking how cool that would be to be able to immerse yourself in that land. And when I heard Disney was going to do it, I knew they were going to do it well. So I'm very excited for this.
And I think that's actually part of the reason to bring Pandora to Animal Kingdom. Although, I guess it has been stated really outright is Animal Kingdom was considered by many to be either a half day park or obviously only day because it would close at dusk because the animals would, go in for the night. So, this is a way to bring nighttime to Animal Kingdom, and they're doing that in several ways, but Pandora is a large part of that plan, making it truly a full day park experience. And, Disney's even saying that this makes it a full day experience. So even Disney's acknowledging that before it was a shorter day.
Mm-hmm. So will Pandora not open until after dark?
Oh no, it'll be open.
Pandora's going to be open the whole time. But what they're saying is that they're, in fact, from May 27th through July 4th, Disney's Animal Kingdom is going to be open from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. That is, like,
unheard of. Never happened.
Yeah.
And they're going to have extra magic hours in the evening, which they never had. So that means there's going to be days where it's open till 1 a.m.
Yeah. That's so cool.
And just to remind you, extra magic hours are for those who are not Disney aficionados, lets you get into the park during hours where only resort guests are allowed. So only people who are staying on property at Walt Disney World get to experience that park during that time. Sometimes it's an hour in the morning. Sometimes it's a couple of hours in the evening, and it jumps from park to park. So you have to check the schedule, but it gives you sort of exclusive access, which for a brand new land, is fantastic, because you can imagine, you know,
especially in summer. I mean, you know, for the month of June, that's really a cool park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm hoping that they will maybe not keep it up open that late, but at least they'll do more evening extra magic hours there.
Yes.
Yeah, at least through August, beyond one, I guess.
July 4th.
Did you hear Sandy? She said at least through August.
Robin, what age range do you think this park is going to, you know, really speak to or be best for?
You know what? It's going to be open to most ages. One of the rides is probably, do you know if it has a height?
It does have a height. Oh gosh, and I don't have it in front of me. The Flight of the Banshee one does have a height requirement. And I'm going to go ahead and show either my ignorance or the fact that I actually am a good researcher. One or the other, you can tell me. There are no real pictures of what this ride technology is going to be, is there? Like, all I've seen...
There are not.
Okay. All I've seen is, like, CGI footage. So I'm guessing it's some sort of, like, flight simulator, like maybe a Soarin' kind of thing or whatever. But there's nothing, except it shows people riding banshees, which are basically big dragon things. Which I'm pretty sure there's no safety rules that would allow that to actually happen.
The height limit is 44 inches for the Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage, okay.
And then there's a boat ride, too, right? So that would imagine that's all ages.
The Navi River Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, Laura, more to your question, I mean, I do think that there's something for everyone there. What I don't know is how much you need to already know about the world of Pandora, the world of Avatar, what you need to know going in. I didn't see the movie. It came out at a time where I didn't have a chance to go. We own it. It's upstairs, but I've never watched it. So I may not actually watch the movie.
That's a good test,
and go and just see what
I
get out of it.
Let me borrow it.
Yeah, sure. Before you leave tonight, you can know. Because I mean, I know a little bit about it, and I've seen a couple of scenes from it, but I haven't really experienced it. So I don't know if it's necessary that the kids see the movie. And I know that the stuff that I saw, the scenes that I've seen, it's a PG-13 movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing it without my kids and thinking they weren't old enough at the time, but they were pretty
really young.
I mean, Lionel Fox was like 8 or 9, so that's not too young. But, But they are making new movies, but those movies got pushed back. So I think that the grand scheme plan was to kind of release it all at the same time. And so I do think Disney's kind of challenged to make it relevant because the movies are not out yet. But I think they, I don't know, Disney has a good marketing department. I think they're going to build excitement and people, you know.
Seeing the pictures and the concept art, it looks beautiful. I mean, I don't think that you definitely can go and appreciate it for like what Disney has built in the true sense of, you know, Disney will no doubt create a new world, a fantasy world where you can walk in, and they have the floating mountains and all of that stuff. And some of that we've been able to see for a while being built. You know, you can see them sort of hanging over Animal Kingdom from a deep, there's no hiding them. like they can really put them under a tarp or anything. So I definitely think if nothing else, it'll be beautiful. And the whole bioluminescence thing, you know, the Navi, does anybody know, is the Navi River, is that going to be inside? Because it's bioluminescent all the time, right?
So yeah, I think it'll
that's
be
indoor, like a dark ride.
It looks indoor from the picture on their website. It says, venture deep into a bioluminescent rainforest in search of the Navi Shaman of Songs.
So
it looks like it's inside.
So that's one kind of like Mexico, the Mexico Pavilion, where you can go any time of day and it'll be night inside of it. Yeah. So.
Are those the rides that are in it? Are the two that you're trying to
see? Yes.
Like an alien version of the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the ships look like they could have come right out of Pirates of the Caribbean, honestly, the concept art. Yeah.
Yeah.
As somebody who loves Disney but has never seen Avatar, this is something, I just love the fact that there's going to be new rides.
Mm-hmm.
It's always something that I love doing, is seeing new things at Disney, whether it's a new land or a new ride or just, you know, a new character. It's nice to see something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is going to appeal to a lot of people. And like you said, I don't really think you have to have a knowledge base for the movie to enjoy, the technology and the work, the creativity that's gone into this. In fact, I would hazard to guess that a lot of people that go to Disney ride most of the rides maybe haven't seen some of some of the movies, and it's just fine.
Well, think about
related, but like I've had to stop myself now watching the commercials for Kong. Yeah. Because having done the ride now over there, I'm like, oh, wait, didn't I see that movie already? Oh no. That's so I think that's,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have a friend who's been to Disney several times, mm-hmm. and she just went with her, she has two boys, and her oldest son has Asperger's syndrome, and this time they went and kind of divided, and when you hear divided, it's going to be quickly, but her young son went to like a Lena Braves training camp with the dad, mm-hmm. and her older son went with her to Disney World, and they just didn't plan anything. They just kind of enjoyed taking things day by day. And I said to her, you know, that's what I love most about Disney World, is the things that people kind of race by in their way to get to the next ride. You know, I love the topiaries. I love, you know, the barbershop quartets who pop out of nowhere. I love kind of standing in, like, I love the Tree of Life. Yeah. You know, and you stand in front of it and you think, how did they conceptualize that?
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the animals on that. Look at how it's carved in that.
And some of the new,
how many animals can you find? And I think some of Pandora will be like that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And they're even, mm-hmm. they're sort of revitalizing the Tree of Life. They're incorporating it into the evening, you know, lighting and everything to bring out some of the features of it that you may not have ever seen. So yeah, I think it is very exciting. And Animal Kingdom has been a great park for that classically. Yeah. I mean, it has sort of the landscaping and
there's a lot of like meandering, mm-hmm. potential. My mom is the same way, Laura. She'll like hang back and we'll have to go back and find her, you know,
yeah.
but she'll take, this was back whenever we didn't have digital cameras. She'd have all this film, but she'd take like hundreds of pictures, and every once in a while she'd get something really cool, but she would see things that we would miss because, mm-hmm. she would just take her time and do that. But, yeah, but this is my favorite park for that. The details in this park in general are so good. And anytime I've ever gotten to be there at night, I love it. Like when they do races and you get to go into Animal Kingdom, I just love it. So I'm really excited to be able to be there.
Yeah. You know, I was married to a Disney fanatic for 18 years. And you would never have guessed it. If I would lined up a bunch of people and said, pick out the Disney fanatic, he's not the one you would pick out. But Lord Jesus, you know, that boy lived, slept, ate, and breathed Disney. And he did touring plans before people knew there were touring plans. And his touring plans were down to the minute.
Yeah.
You know, he had to be at one place to the next place to the next place. And I would be like, but, you know, because my favorite thing is watching a little girl meet Minnie Mouse for the first time. Or, mm-hmm. you know, it's the magic of Disney.
Yeah,
the magic of Disney for me. Yeah. Well, not just people watching. It's just, you know, you walk down Main Street or you walk, you know, into Animal Kingdom, and there is, I mean, somebody thought of this world.
Yeah.
You know, and they created it with such purpose and such beauty and such forethought and such intricacy. You know, for somebody like me, that is the magic. You know, before you ever step on, you know, Expedition Everest, you know, and, mm-hmm. and get your yayas blown out of you. It's like before you even get on the train, just the queue to that is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I love the queues as much as I love the ride. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like Pandora is going to be that kind of place.
Yeah, and that's part of why I said.
And that was, it sounds like it's Disney, you know, transport you to a place that's magical.
That's part of why I said what I did about not seeing the movie first, because I do think that that's sort of a great test as to what, how, you know, yes, it just, if you've seen the movie, then you're going to know how immersed you are in it, but can you get lost in this world if you aren't familiar with it? Can you discover, mm-hmm. Pandora through this land, or do you need to discover it through the movie? So it'll be interesting to see. And there is a storyline with it, just like with anything else at Disney, and any of their parks. There's always a story, and this whole journey that you take. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to execute it, but they're definitely sending home the message that you will be leaving the world, the earth as you know it, and journeying in. And there's some there, you know, I'm expecting that there will be ways that happens. And we are hearing, we talked about this a little bit offline, but we're hearing things like there won't be any signage. Now, whether or not that's true, that's all rumor, but you know, these sort of rumors of it will be like no other place at Walt Disney World, that there will not be, you know, you won't see Mickey Mouse there, I'm guessing. It would make
sense. They really want you to be immersed. Mm-hmm.
Right,
immersed. Mm-hmm. But you know, and for you guys who are, we've kidded about this a couple of podcasts back about, you know, when you would ask me what my favorite Disney food was, and I told you, well, it was a turkey leg.
Mm-hmm.
And that you kidded that I definitely wasn't a Disney foodie at heart. You know, it's like, are there going to be restaurants that the Disney foodies at heart will be excited about?
I'm really excited about the little teasers that I've seen. I've just seen a couple pictures. Did you guys get a peek at the menus?
I didn't look at them yet, so you'll have to, I mean, let's ask Robin the foodie. So why don't you tell us about them, Lindsay? Why don't you tell us all about it?
I just know about the one of the restaurants they had said was the Satuli Canteen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked for it online, it said, indulge in the art and culture of the Navi as you dine inside a former RDA mess hall. So I'm guessing it's supposed to be like the place where the people who came to work there
ate. So it's like military food?
Yeah, so Lindsay, what's on the menu there? What's the...
I am...
have there been any snake menus?
It looks like... gosh, and I wish I could, like, describe this better. It all looks very unique. There are like steamed pods or those sticky bun type things. So the buns, cheeseburgers, vegetables.
The Chinese dumplings, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm not finding it.
Is it like all vegetable or?
No.
I'm looking at a picture that they have on the website, and it looks like rice with like a roast beef type thing with some shredded vegetables.
Well, you know, you have to walk past Tiffin's to get to Pandora, so I say just pop in there. Tiffin's is really good.
And I think this is a puzzle for us because there's no logical, like, it's not, you can't say, well, it's going to be Asian cuisine. Because
well, they're kind of like cat people, so I would say, like, fish.
Yeah. Could be.
There's, okay. So the website says that the dinners start with a base of quinoa and mixed and vegetable salad, red and sweet potato hash, mixed whole grain and rice, or romaine and kale salad. And next is either wood grilled chicken, slow roasted beef, sustainable fish, or chili spiced fried tofu, which to me sounds delicious.
This is where you want to go.
It sounds very farm to table.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the bowl is finished or or what do you leaf to branch?
Yeah.
I think you know,
it's like very sustainable, focused on agriculture. Yeah. Focused on wellness.
Finished with charred onion chimichurri, black bean vinaigrette, and creamy herb dressing. So this is gonna be very adventurous. I would pack a noodle bowl. Robin. I'm gonna need to bring snacks.
See, I'm thinking this is a pre-race meal.
We'll eat before we go in there.
Have ramen while travel.
I do.
So, adjusting for the little ones, for anybody listening who might be thinking, "Oh, great! Now I'm gonna get in here with my kids, and they're not gonna eat anything." The little ones that they have option of grilled chicken, beef, fish, or tofu with greens, rice, a hot dog wrapped in Parker House dough, cheese quesadillas, so there you go, Robin, or a steamed pod, which is a cheeseburger bao bun. Am I saying that wrong? I think bao bun. But yeah, so it looks very creative and unique, and it looks like I'm going to have to go with a lot of people so we can get everything. Yeah. And try it all.
I do, and I would expect it to be healthy and sort of, like you were saying, farm to table. I mean, and you heard things like tofu and kale. This will hopefully give vegetarians some more options in theme parks, because
quinoa and kale and stuff like that sounds like race food to me.
It's like farm to table, sustainable agriculture. Yeah. Those are all the words that are coming to mind. For the folks who love eco travel, this may be kind of a haven in Disney World for them.
Yes.
And that's really part, celebrate that.
That's part of the storyline. I mean, this company called Ace Tours is going to be present there to take you around and show you, you know, the marvels of Pandora. So it is sort of designed with like an ecotourism story in mind. Yeah. So definitely, and that's how it fits in Animal Kingdom, honestly. This is exactly how it does fit in.
And you know, Elizabeth and Robin, since you guys went to the, you know, got to go to the special kind of press opportunity, you know, are there any other experiences that are going to be really awesome for folks to attend? You know, within that?
I know that they have this thing called the Valley of Moara. It's supposed to be this is the floating mountains that Elizabeth was talking about earlier. It says, hike amid the floating mountains, glowing fauna and flora, a native drum circle, and more. They're also going to be a place where they're going to be selling Navi cultural items and science kits. And then they're even doing face painting inspired by Navi and Pandora. So you're going to probably see a lot of blue faces.
A lot of cat people.
We've kidded before talking about folks in Asheville, North Carolina, but these are their people.
Yes.
These are their people.
Yes.
You know, and a friend of mine who says, you know, I'm a nerd and I don't care. Well, this is, you know, it's like, this is like a little haven for them in a world where a lot of people see Disney as a little bit, you know, not as, you know, authentic or earth-centered. This will be a real attraction for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for kids who are interested in science and earth, you know, who don't really get into the poo-ness of things. You know, I think Disney's been really smart, you know, and giving, especially if you come with like you guys who are traveling with four or five people, you know, and you have your kids who love, you know, MGM, I'm going to say the wrong thing. Hollywood Studios or love Epcot, you know. That I think, you know, for the kids who are not into that, this is going to be a really cool thing.
Yeah, my son Owen, this is his favorite park anyway. He's going to love it. Yeah.
Lindsay, what about you?
I'm sorry. We should probably circle back and talk about this mobile order option.
Go ahead.
At the new, at the new Setuli Canteen, this is the first, it does take the dining plan, but this will be the first fast casual restaurant that Disney has that offers a convenient option to order and pay for meals, from your My Disney Experience app. You can bypass the queue and order, and then when you get there, you just get on the app and, tap I'm here, which notifies the kitchen to prepare the meal. So
nice.
So they sort of started that idea with the Be Our Guest thing, but it's not quite that advanced. You know, it takes it a step further. That's very cool.
Yeah, this one is a little bit big. I'm hopeful that they've always been on the cutting edge of, I've always been, you know how you talk about, Laura, about liking to sit back and watch things. I'm always fascinated by how well they move vast amounts of people through things. And I will just kind of stand at the back of a restaurant and just watch, you know, in just a span of a short period of time, you see so many people go through and they've just gotten down to a sign. So I'm kind of excited about what this is going to do. And I could see them, if this works out well, maybe this will...
You know this is totally off topic, but where I see that is parking lots. And when I go to Disney and they park so efficiently, and then I go to like a hockey game and they send you down some random road, I'm like, really? Well, you know,
since I'm the oldest member on the podcast, you know, when we went to Disney the first time when I was a young child, like 8 or 9, you know, I remember them like, you parked in Disney. I mean, you parked in
Daisy. Here. Yeah.
I remember you parked in Daisy. You parked, and that's when you didn't so much stay on Disney at that point. You know, there was like Polynesian and what's the one that the monorail goes
Contemporary.
Mm-hmm. The Contemporary. Like, those are kind of like, and Wilderness, maybe Wilderness Lodge. But, you know, those are kind of your choices.
Fort Wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Fort Wilderness, yeah. Those were kind of your choices. And so it was a big, you know, it's like, it was a big deal to get on the little trams. It was like, you've parked in Daisy. You've parked in Chippendale. You've parked in, you know, and then you would get to, you know, like, I'm really going to date myself, but when Space Mountain first opened, you know, and it was the huge thing, and you'd get there, and there'd be this line, and you'd think, we're going to be here all day, you know, and it'd be like 10 minutes, and you were in, you know, because they just have this way of, you know, we're all 10, really, mm-hmm. you were on this, like, people mover, and, you know, on this, what do you call it, it's like they have the movable,
yeah.
and, you know, you were, they had two different lines loading two different, you know, rocket ships or whatever, but, you know, mm-hmm. it's that same magic of, wow. I mean, they really know how to make it work for people.
They do know how to move people.
I think all the parking lot attendants are like magicians, because I love that you can walk up to them and be like, I can't find my car. And they're like, what time did you park? And what time did you park? Yeah. Like, oh, 9 o'clock. And they're like, you're in row blah, blah, blah. And there's my car. Yeah. Yep.
It's lovely. So yeah, back to Pandora. And I think, you know, that's, I will say we are talking about it, but it's not open yet. Even by the time this airs, I don't think it'll be open yet quite. There will be more coming out about it. So we are talking about it vaguely. It's not that we're trying to hide anything, but Disney is still hiding stuff.
It's Memorial Day.
Yeah. So it opens May 27th. And if you are booked, this summer, you do have options for fast passes. I have clients who have fast passes now for these attractions. So, it is possible to book them now. And, I think it's definitely something you should plan on visiting.
So talk a little bit too about the fast pass tier kind of thing. Cause it's a little,
you know, I don't, how are they tiering this? Are they,
well, so you can pick one of the two Pandora options,
right?
And then everything else is not really tiered.
So. Right. I was going to say they still haven't. So it's not like you have to choose between a Pandora ride and Everest.
Right.
You still can do your Everest. So yes. And that there are, Disney is recommending that if you are staying on property that you plan on going during the extra magic hours, spending most of your time there during that time, rather than, go during the day when the crowds will be higher. They are anticipating that people will be crowding this area. And one of the things that that keeps Animal Kingdom from being one of my favorite parks, in all honesty, is the way that it's designed is beautiful, but it can be very claustrophobic. It's a lot of things are closed in, and a lot of times you find yourself on walkways with maybe just 10 other people, but it feels like there's 40 there.
And the land they took out to build this part is was the worst, I think.
Yeah.
Because you had like one bridge to go over the Camp Minnie Mickey area.
And it came to like a cul-de-sac and you had to turn around. Yeah. So hopefully that problem, you know, I have no idea. These walkways may be huge and enormous, but I do know that in general, Animal Kingdom seems, even though it's the biggest park land-wise, a lot of that is devoted to the animals as it should be. And so the people areas tend to be, and you know, even if you've ever done it in a stroller or a wheelchair, it's one of the more difficult parks to navigate because of the theming and the winding pathways. So.
We're in a giant crowd of runners.
Yeah.
Well, and it's uneven pavement.
Squeeze into the bottleneck.
It's kind of hilly, actually. Yeah.
Did you guys hear, Elizabeth, if any more movies are going to be coming out?
Yes, three more movies. And they're filming them simultaneously, so that's kind of what the holdup is. And they were supposed to be coming out, I want to say maybe 2017, but it's already been pushed back where I don't even think they're going to release it in 2018. So... They're going without the movies now. They're totally opening without the movies. So
yeah. So I guess, you know, we haven't, having not been there, it's hard to speak to this, but like I have a family traveling, with grandparents and a mom and a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. Would you take your 5-year-old to Pandora?
Yeah, I would. I would definitely, because I think, first of all, I would take them to Animal Kingdom. Absolutely. Because there's a lot of cool hands-on stuff for that age. There's the Wilderness Explorer kind of scavenger hunt thing. And, you know, I don't know if the Lion Guard thing is still there, but you know, the safari is great for kids. Yeah. You just kind of walk up sometimes and you see monkeys, or there's these trails that are, I love that park.
All right. I mean, specifically Pandora.
Oh, well,
it's going to be visually, it's going to be beautiful. So I can't imagine that wouldn't be a very enticing area for small children to just, I mean, you're going to probably, we're all probably going to walk in and be five again and go,
there's no place at Disney where I wouldn't take a 5-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old. Yeah. There's going to be something there for any age.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be kind of some glow in the darky stuff.
Yeah.
And that's always fun at any age. You know, it turns everything magic.
Yeah, my favorite thing right now is the Tree of Light show. So I'm really kind of in my mind, that's how I'm picturing the lights of the purples and the blues and the...
Yeah.
And is that supposed to be the Tree of Life will be the Tree of Light? Or will be something
new? Right now, currently, that has nothing to do with Pandora, but there is a Tree Awakening series of projection shows that they show on the Tree of Life with the most beautiful music, and they tell these stories without words in a way that only Disney can, and it's an incredible thing. And now the Rivers of Light show, they have actually incorporated, and you're talking about how they're starting to incorporate the tree into a lot of other things. During the Rivers of Light show, you see part of the reflection is on the back of the Tree of Life. So it's kind of incorporated into that too, and so they're kind of drawing it all in. But and even that show is all those beautiful neon colors, like that what you would think of when you think of the bioluminescent colors. So in my head, that's where the bar is for me right now on Pandora.
So they project this on the Tree of Life, Lindsay?
Yeah, they're beautiful little stories of animals, and there's one about friendship, and it's a sweet thing, and it's without using any words, just using the emotion in the songs and in the projections. It's a truly beautiful thing. I've got a bunch of pictures of it, but I should have taken a video. But I sat there one night, and I swear I watched it. It just plays in a loop, four stories over and over, I think four, over and over and over and over again. But I sat there and watched it for like a couple hours because I couldn't pull myself away because it was so beautiful.
That's really cool. Well, gosh, this has been a great podcast, and that's our show for this week. I kind of hate to leave. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. So to leave us comments, please visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click on the podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlandertravelpodcast. Or just search for Fly Away on Facebook. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Elizabeth, and our special guest Robin, and myself, Laura, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. And we'll see y'all next week. Gotta fly!